Good morning, everyone. It is good to be back with you. After a vacation, we were out in Colorado for a couple of Sabbaths, but it's good to be back here with all of you. As we approach God's throne this morning, as we listen to his voice, let us ask him to speak. Will you bow your heads with me? Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you that you have called us here. Lord, we want to listen to you. We want to be drawn closer to you. Lord, this morning, we want to be clean. So help us now to hear your voice. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the worst feelings in the world has to be helplessness. I just hate that feeling when my hands are tied, when I can't do anything. I remember that feeling of helplessness years ago when both of my children were born. I was going to use actual pictures from the labor, but then I decided against it. So you just have to use, Jeanette's nodding her head. You have to use your imagination a bit. I mean, I was there, and it was such an important event in my life, and yet really, I was pretty helpless to do anything. Now, Jeanette is very nice, and she says that I was there, and I encouraged her and comforted her, and that's very nice of her to say, but really, I was, if I'm honest with you, I was just trying to stay upright and not pass out during the whole time. For the most part that day, I was helpless, which is not a fun feeling. But the feeling of being helpless is sometimes exactly how God wants you and me to feel. The Bible tells us of a story of Naaman, a guy named Naaman. It's in 2 Kings. If you want to open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to learn about this guy this morning. Naaman, a great guy. He was respected, a leader of an army. And let's hear his story this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but also a leper." This guy, Naaman, a valiant warrior, he's got it all going for himself, except for one minor detail. He's a leper, which is anything but minor. Because if you have the disease of leprosy, you are going to die. It's a death sentence at this point in time. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. So do you think this great warrior felt helpless? Do you think he enjoyed that feeling? He's a leader of men, a conqueror, and now he is the one being defeated by a disease that he cannot stop. There are four interesting points in this story, and I want us to look at them this morning. Four points. The first point we catch on real quick is that Naaman wanted to be clean. He didn't want this disease. He wanted it taken away by any means necessary. He wanted to be whole again. That's our first point this morning. He needed cleansing. The second point we see in this story is that there's only one way for Naaman to get clean. There's only one way. He goes to the king of Israel and says, "Can you help me get clean?" And the king of Israel says, I can't do anything. Why are you here?" Thinking that a fight is going to break out. The king can't help. No false gods can help him. Not even Elijah the prophet can do it. Only the word of God through the prophet can help Naaman. Only God could clean this mighty warrior. The third thing we realize, did Naaman understand how he could get clean? Did he get it? Let's take a look at verse 11 now, if you'll follow me down there. Elijah said, you go to the Jordan River, you dip down in it 7 times, and you'll be clean. Verse 11 is Naaman's response, and he says, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself that he will surely will come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He's not very happy in what Elijah tells him to do. He doesn't understand how this could ever work. And the fourth thing we see this morning, the fourth point of this story, is he did not like the task. He didn't like the method in getting clean. We see in verse 12, he continues, and he says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Why did he get upset? I mean, it's really a simple task to be cured of a death sentence. Elijah says, go to the Jordan River. And when you get there, go in it and dip down 7 times. That's pretty easy, isn't it? So why did Naaman get upset? See, Naaman did not like this feeling of helplessness. So this method to get clean tore at his pride. He wanted to do some great thing in order to be cured of this disease. Send me to go defeat an army. Send me to do some great thing for your God. Like go to a river and dunk myself a few times? Or at least, he says he wants Elijah to come out and do some great prayer. Because then his plan was that he would pay Elijah for the cleansing. And in that way, he would at least have a hand in the cure. You see, this task was not pleasant. Getting into the Jordan River, how in the world could that help? Did it make any sense? Why 7 times? Why wouldn't the first time take care of it? But 7 times down, does it make any logical sense at all? No. It's not logical. It's ridiculous. This whole experience tested Naaman's faith. For God called him to do something that did not make sense logically. So would he obey the word of the Lord? Well, he went down, got into the river, his servants talked him into it, and he went down once, and he looked, no change. And went down again, looked, still the same. But he kept doing it. The end result, he obeyed. He went down the 7th time, and then when he came up, the Bible says his flesh was like the flesh of a baby, and he was cured. God cleansed Naaman. And I'm sure many of you are probably out there thinking, this is a good story, Pastor. But if you haven't caught on to the hint directly in front of you, this is Communion Sabbath. So why are we talking about Naaman? I'm glad you asked. For it's a good question. Turn with me to John chapter 13. And let's look at another story. The story of Jesus and his disciples gathered together the night before Jesus was crucified. And as we look at this story, let's see if we can see some similarities between this story in John 13 and the story of Naaman. In John chapter 13, we'll start in verse 4. It says, Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This night, the first point we catch on as we're watching this story unfold, the first thing we realize is that the disciples, just like Naaman, needed cleansing. We see that in verse 10. Jesus says, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. He is completely clean. Jesus says, you need this. You need to be clean. The second point we again see is that there was only one way to be clean. The disciples couldn't do it themselves, could they? Just like Naaman, they needed God to clean them. The third point, did they understand? Did they get what Jesus was doing? Look with me in verse 6. Then Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." You'll find in your life that Jesus may say that verse to you several times. What I'm doing right now, you don't understand, but you will. So just like Naaman, they were confused and they didn't understand. Just like Naaman, only Jesus could cleanse them. And the fourth point, did they enjoy the method of cleansing? Just like our story in 2 Kings, they did not like the task. They wanted to be clean, but not by this. I'm sure they thought that night as they're arguing over who's going to be the best in the kingdom, they thought, send us out to preach. Send us out again to heal people, to do miracles. That's how we can stand before God. But not by this. Not by their master getting down on his knees and washing their feet. They were dirty. And they needed to be clean. And they were helpless to clean themselves. And the outer physical cleansing tore at their pride. It ripped at their hearts. You see, that day Jesus cleaned more than just these fishermen, just their dirty, dusty feet. He cleaned their hearts too. So what about us? Are we like Naaman? Or the disciples? How do we feel about foot washing and the ordinance of humility today? As we think about it, it's a pretty simple task. Getting some water in a basin and putting it on someone's foot. It's not overly difficult to do. And yet, it is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. And Jesus made it that way. Because it's not about the great things that we do. It's not about the singing for God or the preaching for God or even going out into the community and sharing our faith. Those are all great things. They're awesome. But they cannot clean us. They cannot save us. But we want to be clean. Years ago, I went on a mission trip down to the Dominican Republic. And we went down there to build a church and a school. And this was a new experience for me. I learned what it was like to get dirty on that mission trip. Anybody here ever been on a mission trip before? Raise your hand up. Have you ever gotten dirty? Oh, man. I knew what it was like to get dirty. So I'm going to show you a little picture of some of the work I did there, getting dirty. So, well, we weren't getting dirty there. We were, I think that was a popsicle break, actually. And some of the folks there, actually all of them are from here in Piedmont. This is Kent Thompson and Topher, I believe, is there, and that's Philip, and there is Stephanie Kruger. We're all taking a break from our work. But I did actually work and get dirty there. There you can see me building up some sweat and some muscles. And I think Charlie was there directing us what to do. But on this trip, I mean to tell you, I was dirty. You don't normally get that dirty when you're preparing a sermon. Most times, anyway. But here, covered in mud, sweat, and dirt, I knew what it was like to be dirty physically. My friends, I know what it's like to be dirty spiritually as well. And with physical dirt, I could get in the shower and I could stand in the water, and man, it felt great to get clean. I could take care of the physical dirt. But spiritually, I cannot clean myself. None of us can. Today we fall before God and we're dirty. Even in our suits and ties, even in our dresses, even in our Sabbath best, When we look inside, when we look closely inside, we're dirty. We're sinners. And we want to be clean before the God of heaven, just like Naaman wanted to be cleansed, just like the disciples needed to be clean. So we come before Jesus today in this communion service, and what can we say? All we can say is, Lord, I'm dirty, and I can't get myself clean. But I want to be clean, Jesus. And our Lord and Savior replies, I know. I know you're dirty. But I alone can make you clean. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder that, like Naaman, we too have a death sentence. It's called sin. And we can't clean ourselves just like that great warrior couldn't either. But Lord, we come before you today in need of your grace and need of your cleansing again. And we thank you, Lord, that your arms are open, ready to commune with us and accept us and wash us clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.